Hi everybody, it's Curious Raven, back with another true crime story. I know it's been a while since I have did one of these, but as I promised, I was going to get back into it. I'm going to try to do every Friday, but if not, at least once a month. I hope everybody has been doing well. Now this story is about the infamous Robert Christian Hansen. He was born in Iowa on February 15th, 1939. He actually was in the military, the Army Reserves. He married December 7th, 1960. Robert was a loner and he did not have a good childhood. I want to tell about this person right off the bat, so you kind of get more of a full picture of who he was and maybe why they thought he did the things that he did. He did have acne scars all over his face because when he was a child, he had really bad acne. And this made him really self-conscious. He also had a really bad stutter, and it seemed like it just got worse and worse the older he got. They said that his childhood wasn't great. His dad was very, very strict. His dad forced him when he was young to work out their family bakery, and he resented his father for that. To be honest, I have no idea where his mother is. That was something that wasn't even talked about. Growing up, he had a few friends. He was mainly to himself, and the girls in the school did not give him a time of day. So he resented that too. He felt like he wasn't good enough. His father also forced him to use his right hand, even though naturally he was left-handed. I thought that was really weird. But you know what? That happened to me in school. I would write a certain way, and I remember a teacher used to force me to write a whole different way than I'm used to. That would hurt my hand, and it was for hours. So understand, to me, that is a form of child abuse. But that's just something that I went through. Robert Hansen was one of the most notorious Alaska serial killers in history. Let's get into this story. When I was getting all the information and I actually heard about it on another person's podcast and stuff, I was like, wow, that's different. I really need to do a story about this guy. To me, it was interesting, and he's a piece of crap. They called Robert the Alaska Human Hunter. This all started in 1980 through 1983. One day, two off-duty officers were hiking near Panic River in Alaska. Unfortunately, they saw something sticking out of the ground, and it was a decomposed foot joint still in its boot, just sticking out of the dirt. This launches a huge investigation. They had no idea who this person was, what happened to them, but they give it over to Officer Port. He investigates this whole case. While he was there, he took one of those sifters and went through the dirt, and he found a shell casing of a .223 cal. These are usually for rifles. After a little bit, they found out who the body belonged to, who this foot belonged to. Her name was Sherry Morrow. She danced at Wild Cherry Bar. She was only 24 years old. She was last seen November 17th in 1981, and to be honest, this was Robert's third victim. She died from three gunshot wounds, and she was dead for at least 6 months. They also found ace bandages in the dirt where everything was found, and they assumed that she was probably blindfolded. This piece of crap of a man... No, he didn't even get to be called a man. He's a monster. Prior to Sherry, there are two other victims that they found. But they only found little evidence. The first one Construction workers found partial remains in a shallow grave, but they could never identify the woman. The second is that they found a body. Her name was Joanne Messina, and she was a local topless dancer. And they found her in a very shallow gravel grave. Unfortunately, they were so decomposed that there was little evidence, like I said earlier. So they weren't sure how they passed away. Now, as you can tell, these two women were prostitutes and topless dancers. So there's kind of a theme going here with this monster. He loved to target people that they're more of a transient, where they would go place to place and bar to bar and street corner to street corner. And he felt that they weren't going to be missed for a while or at all. He looked down on these women, down on their job. This has always upset me about ladies of the night that sometimes are forced into these things by pimps and traffickers. They have no choice but to do this or they're going to end up dead. Some women don't know what else to do. They have to do what they have to do to feed their family and take care of themselves. And with the police everywhere, when women that have this line of work goes missing or end up dead, they just kind of brush it off and don't act like it's that big of a deal. You know, it angers me. These are humans. These are people that have feelings, and they're being judged so horrible. I wanted to do this story because I wanted to make aware of it. Just because you work in this type of work does not mean that you are less of a person. The fourth victim was actually found June 3rd, 1983. She was found alive. The story goes is this truck driver was driving down the street and this frantic female came running and waving frantically at him with handcuffs, you know, halfway on, her clothes all disheveled. She just looked rough. So he actually stopped and let her get in. And she was scared and she wasn't sure if the police would believe her. And hey, she just went through a traumatic experience. So she asked, "Can you take me to my pimp at the Big Timber Motel?" And he did. But what this truck driver does that amazes me, and that he's a good man, he actually went to the police and reported this for her. Finally, the police went over to the hotel to talk to her. They said that she was still in shock. She even still had the handcuffs halfway on her arm. She was very traumatized. They identified her as Cindy Paulson. She told a story that just did not seem real. The police seemed like they didn't believe her at first, but they said, "Hey, let's go ahead and investigate it, see what's going on. There have been lots of missing females around this area around these times. Let's check it out." So she said that she was prostituting, and a 40-year-old man asked for oral, and halfway through the act, he handcuffed one arm and pulled a gun and told her, "If you do as I say, you will not get hurt." Then he drove to his house in Muldoon, Alaska. She reported that while she was there, he proceeded to brutally rape her, bit her nipples, and took a clothes hanger and shoved it in her vagina over and over again. The pain that this woman went through, I could not imagine, and it breaks my heart. Next, he said he was going to fly her to his cabin in the mountains. He shoved her into a small plane, and she knew that if she didn't get out now, when she went to the mountains, he was going to kill her. So while he was loading supplies and his back was turned, she shoved open the plane door, jumped out, and ran for her life. And that's when she waved the trucker down. He did follow her, but when he saw that the trucker was picking her up, he gave up. After she told her story, the police asked her if she would be comfortable right then and there going to the airfield and seeing if they can identify the plane. Guess what? They did. It was a small blue and white plane. And she remembered the plate, N3089Z. They looked it up and saw that it was registered to Robert C. Hansen. They took her to the hospital, the police did, and they went to Hansen's house. They said that when they started to ask him questions, he got outraged. He said he did not do it. He had no clue who that woman was. But it was odd because he made a weird, disgusting remark. He said, "You can't rape a prostitute, can you? This guy's a piece of shit." At this time, Hansen was married and had two kids. And they were vacaying in Europe. He did have an alibi. He said that he spent the night out with two friends. The friends checked out his alibi. No charges were filed at that time. A couple years later, a fifth victim was found in 1983, Paula Golden. She was 17 years old. She was missing for about 5 months. She was also shot with a .223 caliber. At this point, the detective realized that he has a serial killer on his hands, and they were looking at Hansen. They called the FBI. John Douglas, an FBI agent, was sent to investigate. He profiled this serial killer as that he chose prostitutes because they are, like I said, transients and go unnoticed. He said that he felt like he had a small stature and a speech impediment, skin issues. He got bullied when he was a kid and low self-esteem. And he felt that he was a proficient hunter, that he liked to keep small souvenirs. He wanted to check out Robert Hansen's alibi, so he called the two friends in, and he grilled them and poked holes in their alibi, and yes, the friends finally admitted that they did lie, that Robert was not with them that night. But also, Robert committed insurance fraud. Finally, the FBI were able to get 8 search warrants October 27th, 1983, to search his property and his private plane. They found nothing after all day of searching. Just before they're about to leave, they found this secret space in between the attic rafters. And inside, they found guns, aviation maps, various jewelry, ID cards belonging to some of the victims, and a .223 mini 14 rifle. They thought, man, yes, dead on. Here's all of the evidence. But, you know, Robert still denied that he had anything to do with it. A little background. Robert married in 1960 to his first wife. And he had a troubled back life. Like, he burned down the school bus garage at the high school he used to go to. And spent 3 years in prison. And after that, his first wife was like, no, I'm not dealing with this crap. And she divorced him while he was in prison. Now, he married his second wife, the one that was in Europe, in 1963. And from 1960 to 63, did a little petty theft and got arrested for little things here and there. Well, finally, in 1967, he moved to Alaska. And then 1969 through 71... he was an avid hunter. He loved exotic animals. He was put in 4 world record books and had numerous trophies for hunting. In 1977, he was arrested for stealing a chainsaw, was sentenced to prison for 5 years. There was a doctor in the prison system that said that Hansen suffered from bipolar affective disorder. She wanted to give him lithium, but they didn't take it serious and just... the 5 years of his sentence, he only served 1 year and was let go. Nothing ever was said anymore about his bipolar disorder. Seemed like Hansen was turning over a new leaf. He opened his own bakery, and for a while, everything seemed awesome. But Like I said, after they found everything in his
attic,
they arrested Hansen on assault, kidnapping, weapon offenses, insurance fraud for $13,000. He realized that he was caught, that there was no way out, so he requested an attorney. November 3rd, 1983, it went to grand court, and they charged him with first-degree assault, kidnapping, 5 counts of misconduct with a handgun, theft in second degree, and deception of insurance fraud. He pled not guilty, and his bond was $500,000. To me, I'm thinking, this guy's a freaking idiot. You're caught, dude. You know, whatever. Well, while he was sitting in jail waiting for his huge trial, they're waiting for ballistics to come back to see if the rifle they found at his house matched the shell casing to the third victim. November 20th, 1983. Guess what? The test came back and it was a match. So when I heard this, I'm like, yeah, they got him. But anyways, February 22nd, 1984, they made him a plea deal and said, look, if you go ahead and plead guilty to the things that he have done, we will only charge you with 4 murders and not all the other women they know he killed. He took the plea deal, and the judge gave him 461 years in prison, plus life. On a map, Robert showed them 12 more graves. So that means that he murdered 15 innocent women. In 1988, he was the first prisoner in the first correctional facility in Alaska, and his wife divorced him. When the police went back to look at the other grave sites that he showed them on a map, they actually only were able to find 7 more bodies. And they belonged to Sue Luna, Malay Larson, Talyn Frey, Teresa Watson, Angela Federin, Tamara Peterson, and Lisa Futrell. All these women were either a prostitute or worked as a topless dancer. They say he was getting revenge for all the women that shut him out in high school that he resented. And finally, 2014, he died at age 75. It's so crazy. But the reason why they called him the Hunter is because he actually kind of gave details that he would pick up these women, get them to his house, rape them, do horrible things to them, and he would give them the option of fight for your life. He said that he would either hunt them with a rifle or a knife, and he would blindfold them and strip them naked and tell them to run. He would give them a head start. And then he would hunt them like he would his sport hunting that he used to do. I guess maybe animals didn't give him a thrill anymore, so he went after people. I mean, it sounds fake. It sounds like a fake story. That someone could be so cruel to tell someone, you know, ready, set, go. I'll be right behind you. Don't get killed. And a lot of these huntings, y'all, were in midwinter, when it was freezing outside and was snowing, and these poor women were running around the forest trying to find help, when he knew damn well that they wouldn't make it and he would find them and kill them. There's something really wrong with you if you have to hunt people. That's a true psychopath right there. He looked down on these women like they were nothing. It's sad to say that there are people out there in this world that are like this, and that exist, and they haven't been caught yet. I just wanted to let y'all know about this serial killer, about what he did to these poor women, and never forget their memory. Sorry to the family that lost them. I will have another true crime story up soon, probably next month or so. I have an idea of which one I want to do, but it is kind of an ongoing case right now, so we'll see. Please be aware of your surroundings and who you trust. And I'm hoping for all the women that do this dangerous job that they protect themselves. Carry a knife, carry mace, something to protect yourself from these animals. I will see y'all again soon and talk to you soon. Please stay tuned for my next video. It was good to talk to y'all. And yes, I'm kind of sad. This is a sad story. This is heartbreaking. But until then, please go like and subscribe to my channel. I do have a Patreon. Also have merch. Go check that out. If y'all have any stories that y'all would like to submit to me, you can do it at curiousraven87@gmail.com. Alright guys, I will talk to you soon. But remember, it's scary out there.